Let's read together Exodus chapter 30. In this chapter, we have instructions concerning several items associated with the tabernacle: the altar of incense, the atonement money, the laver, the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 10. You shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its width. It shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horns shall be of one piece with it. And you shall overlay its top, its sides all around, and its horns with pure gold. And you shall make for it a molding of gold all around. 2 gold rings you shall make for it, under the molding, on both its sides. You shall place them on its 2 sides, and they will be holders for the poles with which to bear it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Exodus 30, with some background notes. In Exodus chapter 27, we had the instructions for the construction of an altar. And now here in Exodus chapter 30, we have further instructions about the construction of another altar. These are different altars. Don't confuse the bronze altar of Exodus 27 with the altar of incense here in Exodus chapter 30. The bronze altar was much larger and was outside the tabernacle in the courtyard. This is where all the animal sacrifices took place. The altar of incense, on the other hand, the altar of incense, also called the golden altar, was inside the tabernacle and only used for burning incense, not for animal sacrifices. This altar of incense was therefore much smaller, about 18 inches on a side and only about 3 feet tall. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Exodus chapter 30. Doctrinal point number 1, the incense altar emphasizes continual praise in the worship of the Lord. The incense altar emphasizes continual praise in the worship of the Lord. We've seen thus far in our studies of Exodus that everything about the tabernacle, in some way, portrays the person and work of Christ and the way of true worship. Now in the golden altar of incense, we have the spiritual picture of Christ as the basis of our acceptable worship of God. And the incense offered on this altar represents our Christ-centered prayers and praises. Psalm 141, verse 2 says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense." Psalm 141, verse 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, we are told that believers are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, 5. This is typified in the Old Testament by the incense offered by the priest on the golden altar of incense. Notice from verses 7 and 8 of Exodus chapter 30 that fragrant incense was to be presented before the Lord every morning and every evening. Notice the end of verse 8, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You know, our worship of the Lord is to be continuous, is it not? Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, "Therefore by him," that is by Christ, "let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God," that is, "the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." This continual sacrifice of praise is portrayed in the golden altar of incense. Let me ask you this morning, is your worship of the Lord continuous or only on Sunday? The incense altar emphasizes continual praise in the worship of the Lord. Doctrine point number 2. The atonement money emphasizes continual support for the work of the Lord. The atonement money emphasizes continual support for the work of the Lord. Verses 11 through 16. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "When you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, Then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. This is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. The half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord. Everyone included among those who are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when you give an offering to the Lord, to make atonement for yourselves. And you shall take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for yourselves. Question: how was the work of the Lord supported in the Old Testament? After all, there were the needs of all the priests and Levites and the maintenance of the tabernacle and later the temple. So how was all of this work of the Lord supported? Answer: tithes and offerings and the atonement money that we read about here in Exodus chapter 30. Whenever a census was taken in Israel, every male 20 years and older was required to give a half shekel as a ransom for himself. After all, he belonged to the Lord and had been redeemed out of Egypt. Thus, this money was known as atonement money and was used to support the work of the Lord, as we see there in verse 16. And you shall take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting. This atonement money became known as the temple tax by New Testament times. Every time the people were numbered, the atonement money was required from every male 20 years old and up, no matter how many times he had given before, and no matter how he felt about it. It was a required responsibility. Now, in the spiritual picture that the Lord has given us here, the atonement money emphasizes continual support for the work of the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, do you continually support the work of the Lord, or do you only give occasionally and not regularly? When you feel moved? Or do you only give token amounts when you could give much more? Under the law, if you didn't support the work of the Lord with the atonement money, you were in danger of the plague. Verse 12. The atonement money emphasizes that support for the work of the Lord is an important responsibility of every believer. The atonement money emphasizes continual support for the work of the Lord. Doctrine point number 3. The bronze laver emphasizes continual cleansing by the word of the Lord. The bronze laver emphasizes continual cleansing by the word of the Lord. Verses 17 through 21. Exodus 30, beginning now at verse 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also make a laver of bronze, with its base also of bronze, for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. And you shall put water in it, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it, when they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations. The laver was positioned in the tabernacle courtyard between the bronze altar and the tabernacle itself. Before the priests entered the tabernacle, they had to wash their hands and their feet with the water of the laver. This was done every time the priests entered the tabernacle. Without the continual cleansing, the priests could not enter the tabernacle and could not offer incense on the golden altar in the holy place. Now, the lesson for us should be obvious. The spiritual picture portrayed in the continual ritualistic washings of the laver is the continual washing by the word that we as priests need because of the defiling effects of sin on what we do, the hands, and where we go, the feet. All this has to do with the continual process of sanctification. Justification was emphasized in the application of the blood in the consecration of the priests and in the sacrifices of the bronze altar. As Romans 5:9 says, having been justified by his blood. Now, continual sanctification is emphasized in the continual washings of the laver. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord cleanses us from the daily defiling effects of sin by the use of his word. That's why it's so important to be in the Word every day. Ephesians 5:26 says that the Lord cleanses His church with the washing of water by the Word. Ephesians 5:26. The bronze laver emphasizes continual cleansing by the Word of the Lord. Now, what about practical application from Exodus 30? Don't get involved with strange oil or strange incense. Don't get involved with strange oil or strange incense. Verses 22 through 38. Exodus chapter 30, beginning now at verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweetened cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from them a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting, and the ark of the testimony, the table, and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, This shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it. According to its composition, it is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people." And the Lord said to Moses, "Take sweet spices, stacte and onycha and galbanum, and pure frankincense with these sweet spices. There shall be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. And you shall beat some of it very fine, and put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall make, you shall not make any for yourselves according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to use as a perfume, he shall be cut off from his people." We see in these verses that the anointing oil and the incense for the golden altar had to be the God-given right mixtures. Notice that verse 9 refers to unorthodox incense as strange incense. We see in verses 33 and 38 that there was a penalty for unorthodox mixtures of oil or incense, or for using the holy incense as perfume for yourself. Death or banishment was the penalty. The seriousness of this sin can be appreciated from the spiritual picture God intended to portray. The anointing oil is a type of the Holy Spirit, as we've mentioned before. And the incense typifies Christ-centered prayers and praises, as we've seen. Now, do you see the practical application? Is your doctrine of the Holy Spirit orthodox, or is it a strange, unbiblical mixture of experiences, for example? Are your prayers Christ-centered, or are they strange incense? Are they strange, unbiblical mixtures to a God that accepts any sincere person? Don't get involved with strange oil or strange incense.